The pastor of the Almighty God Tabernacle in Stanton, Virginia, the corner of 3rd and Gruber Street, was working late, not 3rd and Gruber, 3rd and Gray, was working late on Saturday night, working at 10 o'clock at night. So you know it's a fictional story already because no pastor works nights. The pastor of the Almighty God Tabernacle was working late on a Saturday night, and it was about 10 o'clock, and he was getting ready to go home. And he decided he would call his wife first to let her know that he would be on his way. So he called home, and the phone rang, and it rang, and it rang. She didn't answer. This is, you know, this happens from time to time. So he didn't think much of it. He waited a few minutes, and he called back again. And immediately his wife picked up, and he said, you know, everything okay? You didn't answer the first time I called? She said, yeah, it didn't ring. So this is the first time that you've called. Well, they didn't think much of it until the following Monday. And the pastor was sitting in his office, and the phone rang, and it was a call from somebody who said, hey, I'm just wondering why someone from this number called me. And the pastor thought about it for a while, and he realized that perhaps that he had called this guy's number by mistake. And he said, well, I'm so sorry to bother you. Sorry that I just let it ring and ring and ring. But I'm wondering why you didn't answer. And the guy said, well, actually, I'm glad you called. You see, Saturday night, I was considering proposing to my girlfriend. And I prayed to God. I said, God, if I shouldn't go through with this, give me a sign. And just then the phone started ringing, and I went and I checked the caller ID, and it said, Almighty God. That's terrible, I know. Oh, today we're talking about calling. And not that kind of calling, not the kind of call that we use telephones for, but our calling from God. Because I believe that we all are called by God. We're called to do something, some kind of work within His kingdom. Some of us are called to various positions. Some of us are called, I'll get into it more detailed later, but we're all called. We just all need to learn how to listen for that call. We need to learn how to accept that call. And today we're going to look at Paul's call to the Macedonians. So when we look at our scripture for this morning, if we look at the scripture that leads up to our scripture, it's always good to look at a text in its context. We see that Paul and his companions, they just kind of are wandering around. They're wandering around doing purposeful work, but they're just wandering. Paul and Silas, especially at the beginning. They just go from town to town without really knowing where they're going. They go one place and they preach the gospel there. They go to another, they preach the gospel there. But they don't have a set plan of where they're going to go. And I'm sure this causes a lot of confusion, a lot of maybe arguments. Arguments is probably a strong word because I was going to use an example of my wife and I. Whenever we go out to eat somewhere, if we are packing up and we get in the car, we start to drive, and we don't really know where we want to go. And so we eventually end up somewhere, and maybe we get something good, and maybe we don't get something good, but we just kind of drive around until we find the right place. And I think that's what Paul and Silas were doing early on. They were just wandering around without any real purpose. They know that they can get something good or do something good here or there, but they don't really have it set in their mind, oh, we're going to this spot, we're going to this city, we're going to this place. But if we look in the scripture just before our scripture for this morning, we find that Paul and his members of his wanderers, they go from a wandering group to apostles called to a specific ministry. In Acts chapter 12, we find that Paul is first commissioned to do the ministry in Acts chapter 12. He was converted in Acts chapter 9. And before chapter 12, he's just kind of wandering around. But whenever they come to this place in Acts chapter 12, he begins to get more direction in his ministry. And then we find that he picks up this other person. Timothy joins their ministry group. And all at once, their mission becomes more and more focused. As Paul becomes more and more obedient to what God is calling him to do, as Paul continues to submit himself to God, his call is getting clearer and clearer along the way. So then in our scripture for today, we find that Paul and his companions, they're sleeping one night, and Paul gets this very clear vision from God. Paul gets this vision that says, go to the Macedonians. Help them. We went from a very vague understanding to this very specific. This is what I'm called to do. These are the people I am called to go to. Now, don't you wish it was always that easy? I heard it. Like I said, I think we are all called by God. We all have a mission in life. God has something in order for us to do. Like Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. God wants us all to do something for the kingdom of God. But I personally have never had a vision like what Paul experienced in Macedonia. I've never had that clarity of mind that this is what I'm supposed to do. It's never been that specific. And I know that life would have been so much easier had I just had that kind of vision. You know what I'm talking about? If God had just come to me in a vision, in a dream, and say, go to this place, do this thing, man, that would make life so much simpler. But if we look at the life of Paul, it wasn't always that simple for him. Paul had a lot of struggles as well. Paul's early career, he was struggling with, what is God calling me to do? If we look at the young Paul, actually before he became Paul, when he was known as Saul, what was his job? He was a Pharisee, and he specialized in persecuting Christians. Saul thought that was his calling in life. I am called to persecute Christians. I am called to kill them, to haul them into jail, to drive them away from Jerusalem, to drive them away from their heresy. That was what he understood his calling to be. And to be honest, I think he misinterpreted that call just a little bit. Killing Christians, I don't think that's what God is calling him to do. But we see that as he moves on, after he is converted to Christianity, after he has this vision from God, he all at once realizes, that maybe I'm supposed to share my story. Maybe I'm supposed to go from town to town and tell them about what I've experienced. Maybe I'm supposed to tell them about how God revealed himself to me through Jesus Christ on this road to Damascus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us anywhere specifically that God called him to do that, to go around and share his story. But we see that Paul had these inclinations, these desires, this urging, this nudging to go and do just that. Then I said in Acts chapter 12, he gets this more clear calling. It says that the Spirit spoke to him and tells him, go out and preach the gospel. And then in today's scripture, it gets even more refined. Go to Macedonia. As Paul becomes more and more obedient, as he submits more and more of his life to God, his calling becomes more and more clear. Now, I never intended, never dreamed of, never planned to live in Virginia. It's a wonderful place. Indeed it is. I love Virginia. I just had no intentions of ever living in Virginia. When I was in my early 20s, I felt a call to ministry. And I had every intention of going to a church in Ohio and starting a ministry there, so for being in a church in Ohio, close to my family, close to my friend, close to everything that I've ever known. But I knew before I became a pastor that I needed to go through some sort of theological training, something that we call seminary. So I began to explore different places where I could go to seminary. The first place that I looked was the place where Sonia's dad went to school, Heston College, which is in Kansas. And if you think yesterday was windy, I'll leave it at that. It's Kansas. We went there to check out their school program first, the pastoral ministries program. Next place we went, Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary. I got some thumbs up back there, but we chose not to go there. So Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary had a lot to offer academically. They also had very cold winters and rain to offer. Didn't feel God's gentle nudging to go through the coldness. And blessings to your mom, Joe. I considered Ashland Seminary, Ashland University, which would have been just the next state or next county away from where I grew up. It's a Brethren Seminary. Good school, a lot of good professors there. It's a good sized school. Considered that. And then I came to Eastern Mennonite University and visited Eastern Mennonite Seminary. And I fell in love with the Shenandoah Valley. I fell in love with this school. I fell in love with this area. I fell in love with Virginia. And you know, they say Virginia is for lovers. Yeah. So, hey, God was calling me to go to Virginia, to go to Eastern Mennonite Seminary. I felt that. I was obedient to my call to ministry. And I felt when I was obedient to that call to ministry, God was showing me exactly what my calling was. He's saying, I want you to go to Eastern Mennonite Seminary. So I said, sure, God, 3 years at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, back to Ohio, then I'll find a church there, then I'll minister to the people in Ohio, then I can be close to my family. 3 years, God, 3 years for my Master's of Divinity. That was 2005. And then, as I was at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, an opportunity came up. Stanton Mennonite Church. Well, that's not too bad. That's like 7 miles away from where Sonia works. That's interesting, God. I could be in a half-time role at the church, still be in seminary, help pay some of the bills. That feels like God leading. Sure, I can do that for 2 years and finish up my seminary career, right? Move to Stanton. Buy a house. Put down roots. That's where I live. You see, as I've been obedient to God's call, I think He's made it clearer and clearer along the way where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do. He's made His calling clearer and clearer to me as I have been obedient to that call. Now, I don't know that God always works in that way with everybody, but this seems to be the case here with me and with Paul. If you are obedient to these initial calls, God will clarify what that call is. Now, if we look at our scripture again for this morning, Paul and his friends, they're taking off to Philippi. And if we look at the scripture, we can see that they go from using this third-person pronoun to using a first-person plural pronoun. They go from talking about they to talking about we. So it's believed that here Paul also picks up Luke along the way, and Luke becomes a missionary. Luke is the person that wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So these four men, perhaps others as well, they travel to Philippi, which is like the capital of Macedonia. And Philippi is kind of well known for being a Roman-occupied city. More than just occupied, it's overflowing with Romans. About 40 years before Jesus was ever born, the Romans came to Philippi, and they established this community there of retired Roman soldiers. So over about the last 80 years, this community has just grown more and more from retired Roman soldiers. So Paul comes through this community, and I'm sure he's scratching his head, because he's looking at all that God has taught him to do, all that God has led him, how God has been faithful along the way, and he comes to Philippi, and he's like, really, God? Philippi? This is where you want me to be? You know, the Romans that Paul was being called to preach to, these were the same people that killed Jesus. These were the same people that didn't like the status quo to be shaken up. They didn't like to have their way of life messed with. And then someone comes in and starts preaching the gospel. And remember, these Romans, they were also worshipers. I don't think that's a strong word. They worshipped Caesar. They believed Caesar to be, and here's some language I want you to remember, the Son of God. They believed that Caesar was Lord. This was a profession of faith. They would say, Caesar is Lord. And now Paul is coming through town and saying, actually, Jesus is Lord. So you can kind of see why Paul might have a little skepticism, a little trepidation as to why God would send him to Philippi. Now, he came from Jerusalem before this. In Jerusalem, there was a Roman occupation there. There was a Roman presence. There were Romans there. But in Philippi, it was wall-to-wall Romans. His work was not going to be easy. And if you think about early Christianity spread through the Jewish community, right? It came through the Jews first. And it was only just recently, before Paul's time, that they started preaching to the Gentiles. In the city of Philippi, they didn't have a synagogue. And to have a synagogue, you needed to have at least 10 people. So there was less than 10 Jews in all of Philippi. So Paul really was realizing his work is cut out for him. It's one thing to go to a Jewish person and say, you know, this Messiah that you've been waiting on, It's Jesus. It's another thing entirely to go to a Roman and say, this person that you've been worshiping isn't God at all. Let me introduce you to the real God. And it's one thing to go to the grocery store and go down the coffee aisle and see somebody buying some Maxwell House and say, you know, actually, the Folgers, that's the one you're looking for. It's another thing altogether to say, forget the coffee, go over and buy yourself some milk. That coffee is going to lead to your death. Which do you think you'd have a better opportunity to do? I mean, Paul, surely, he didn't want to do this. He surely was confused by this call to Philippi. It would have been so much easier to do something else. But instead of just picking up like Jonah and taking off, you know, the complete opposite direction, he is faithful and he goes to Philippi. And they're there for a few days, and then on the Sabbath, they go down to the river to pray. It's like the old song goes, and I won't break out in the song. So they go down to the river to pray, and there's some women there. One of them is Lydia. And Lydia is said to be a worshiper of God or a fearer of God. And that's just the way that they would describe somebody that worships the God of Israel but hadn't fully committed to Judaism yet. So she believed in their God, just wasn't fully on board yet. And our text says that Lydia was a dealer of purple cloth. Does anybody have a King James Version? Okay. It says in the King James Version that Lydia was a dealer of purple. She sold purple. I think of the vendors at a baseball game going selling peanuts away and said they're selling purple. You know, get your purple. Come right up. Get your purple. Got your purple here. This was Lydia. She was selling purple. But we get a little more specific. We take a few exegetical, hermeneutical, I'm just throwing out big words because I'm losing the one I want. We take some liberties and saying that she dealt purple cloth. Now, purple cloth was hard to come by because purple dye was hard to come by. Today we have all sorts of artificial dyes. We can make things blue. I should have worn purple today. We can do this because of artificial dyes, but in Lydia's day, they had to harvest crustaceans or mollusks or something like that from the bodies of water to get this purple dye. So it was really hard to come by. And that means Lydia was making a lot of money by selling purple cloth. So on that first, or on that Sabbath day, Paul is there preaching to these women, and Lydia, it says her heart was open. She's baptized, probably in that river right there. And she invites Paul and his other companions to come to her house, invite them over for supper, invite them to stay at her house. If we read through our text, it says there that Lydia's entire house was converted. The entire household was baptized. And on this Mother's Day, I just want to point out just how influential our mothers are. How many of you are here today because of what your mother taught you as a child? Yeah. And the rest of you are just so shy, right? So what I want to point out, though, is that when they went to Lydia's house, they had this gathering of Christians. And in the New Testament, this is your Greek lesson for today, the word ekklesia means gathering. Now, does anybody here speak Spanish? Oh, a couple, good, good. Iglesia sounds a lot like ekklesia, right? What does iglesia mean? It's a church. Ekklesia, the word that sometimes we translate as gathering, is the word that we also use for church. So when Lydia has this ekklesia, when she has this gathering of Christians there in her home, what she's really doing is she is starting the first church. Paul went into her home and he planted the first church in all of Europe in this Gentile woman's home. So we need to back all the way up here. You're wondering, why is Kevin just rambling on? And for those of you that know me, it's because you know that I do this. We have to look at what Paul has been through. And I think that as he's gone through these things in his life, it makes it easier for him to submit to God's will, to follow God's calling. But I ask the question, what if Saul the Pharisee had been called to do these things? Back before he ever met Jesus on the road, if he would have had this call initially, would he have been submissive to God's will? What if Paul Saul the Pharisee had been called to go to the city of Roman soldiers and preach that Jesus is Lord, which again meant that Caesar was not, which meant that he was being defiant of the Roman government, which meant that he was being a heretical person, which meant that he could and eventually will be crucified. What if he was to go to a city where there was less than 10 Jews and to start a church in the home of a Gentile woman? Do you begin to see how God uses this to build confidence in God and build confidence in ourselves along the way? God gives us these initial callings, and as we prove ourselves to be faithful, as we prove ourselves to submit to Him, it becomes more and more clear what God is calling us to do. And I believe that's because we know that if we would have gotten a call like this early on when we first believed, we would have hightailed it out of there. I mean, what would that Pharisee Saul have said if God came to him with this vision? I mean, no thanks, God. I've got a stoning to get to later on. I can't make it. And what if I would have gotten the call to go to Stanton Mennonite as a 22-year-old, first sensing the call to ministry? I had everything already planned out. I knew that I wanted to go back to Ohio. I knew that I wanted to establish roots close to my family, close to my in-laws, close to everything I've ever known. If God would have called me to go to Stanton Mennonite as a 22-year-old individual, I mean, the first thing I would have said is, where's Stanton, Virginia? I mean, there's reason that God operates in these ways. There's reason that God calls us and makes us prove our faithfulness, makes us prove that we are willing to submit to Him. Because if we were to get these larger calls at the very beginning, we surely wouldn't be faithful. Now, the thing I am very weary about when we preach sermons like this on Mission Sunday Sundays is that we hear stories about Paul picking up everything that he ever had and going to another region, going to another location. And I don't help things out by saying that I picked up and I moved to Virginia. And you start to think that, well, if you're going to be submissive to God's will, if you're going to listen to God's calling, then you must go somewhere else. And that is the opposite of the truth. We're not always called to go somewhere. I think God's call isn't always a call to where, but often a call to what. God calls people, everybody, all the time. God called Lydia, and Lydia wasn't called to go to another place. She wasn't called to pick up and move. She was called to start a church in her home, to minister to her family, to provide hospitality to others. We could go on and on. She likely funded Paul's missionary journeys. God calls us all, and we're not necessarily called to pick up and move halfway around the world. Sometimes we are, but we're not always called to do that. Sometimes we're called to care for our own family and teach them God's way. Sometimes we're called to minister to our neighbors, to clean those darn helicopters out of their downspouts because they plug things up and they're too old to climb ladders. Oh, you've done that. Sometimes we're just called to love our neighbors, to sit down with them, to enjoy a cup of tea, to listen to their problems. Sometimes we're called to tutor underprivileged kids, to serve meals to the poor. All of these calls are equally important. There's no one calling that is more important than another. So to hear stories like Paul's, where he's called to travel around the world, I think sometimes that's a little detrimental and can cause us to downplay our own calls. But if we read what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, we are the body of Christ. Everyone is called. Some are called to pastor. Some are called to teach. Some are called to be encouragers. Some people are called to be laborers. And each person's call is important. Nobody wants to be a foot in the body of Christ. The foot is stinky. It's gross. It's calloused. But without the foot, the body of Christ would fall over. So today, on this Mother's Day, as you listen for God's calling, remember, we are all called. And sometimes we misunderstand that calling. Sometimes we think we're called to do something and we're totally off base. But I encourage you, test your calls. Test it amongst your friends. Test it with your pastor. Test it with your family. Say, do you sense God calling me in this way? And perhaps you will fail. Perhaps you'll make a mistake and you'll do something that you were never called to do in the first place. But let's remember, what did Paul think his first call was? To kill Christians. And you know, that guy turned out pretty well in the end. My friends, it all begins with submission to God. We need to be willing to accept that call when God calls. And hopefully, as we go on, God will clarify that call for us. Let's pray. Loving God, we are all here for different reasons. But yet we share one common reason, and that is that you have called us together. Perhaps you have called us together because a seed was planted in our hearts by our mothers. Perhaps you have called us together today because there's something that you want us to experience from the body gathered here. But Lord, we know that sometimes you call us to send us. And I pray, regardless of what our call is today, that you will help us to submit to that call. And even if it is not clear to us at this time, we know, Lord, that you will clarify things as we are proving ourselves to be obedient to you. Help us, Lord, to submit. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to discern together what you want of our lives. Amen.